while John chapter 20, beginning at verse 24. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Well, Ben is going to now come and explain and exhort these words to us. Over to you, Ben.
Let's pray as we come to God's word. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that in your word you speak to us. And we ask this morning that we would hear you speak and that we would know with confidence the hope we have in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to think about the future this morning, your hopes and dreams, way beyond this current time. In fact, I want to ask you a very specific question about your future, which I want you to think about. Here's the question. Where will you live 10,000 years from now? Where will you live 10,000 years from now? Perhaps you think you want to still be here in Stockport. Perhaps you like it here. It's lovely. Perhaps you like to be further afield, perhaps where you're from. Perhaps you'd like to be abroad in a different country. Where will you live in 10,000 years from now? Well, maybe you're thinking, well, 10,000 years is a long time, and actually you'll be dead in 10,000 years. We'll all be dead. Perhaps you tried to be clever and you thought you'll live in heaven. Well, maybe you will. But if within the next 10,000 years, the Lord Jesus Christ has returned, and you are a believer in him today, then in 10,000 years, you won't be dead. You will be alive. So you will need somewhere to live. Where will you live in 10,000 years from now? Now, of course, Jesus may not return in that time. I don't know. I'm not saying he will. I'm just using that as an example. So when I say 10,000 years, it may be longer, 20,000 or more. But I don't want to say that every time. I'm just going to say 10,000 years. So assuming that Jesus does return in that time, which he may not, but assuming he does, where will you live in 10,000 years from now? Where will it be? Just think about that for a moment. And then let me bring you back to today, where you live today. Think of your house. Perhaps you're there now, on your favourite seat, your favourite spot. Sorry, you may not be watching your favourite thing. But think about this as you listen. Think of where you live and where you will live, in where you live now and where you will live in 10,000 years from now. And here is my question. which is more real? Where you live now or where you live 10,000 years from now? Well, the answer's obvious, isn't it? It's where you are. It's what you can touch and feel. Well, if you're a Christian, or if you become a Christian, if you turn to Jesus, then where you live now, and assuming Jesus returns, which you may not, but where you live now and where you will live in 10,000 years from now is just as real. And we need to know that this morning. Because reality, I wonder what reality now is for you. It might be the reality of family finances, dealing with the impact of the last few years, the reality of illness, the reality of anxiety, the reality of a pandemic, the reality of sadness maybe. And 10,000 years, or perhaps longer, let's face it, is a long time. The things that we experience this morning feel so much more real. And if we live in hope of what we may experience in 10,000 years, we need to know that it is real. But in John's Gospel, in these verses, John takes us not forward 10,000 years, but back 2,000 years. And he wants us to know the reality of the events of that first Easter, that first sights of the risen Lord Jesus. And he wants us to know that it really happened, that it is real, so that we know where we will live in 10,000 years from now. That we will live in 10,000 years from now. Thomas has gone down in history as Doubting Thomas. He's famous for his doubts. Regrettable, no doubt. But sometimes we read this story and we think it's just telling us, don't doubt, don't be like Thomas. And I think that's slightly unfair on Thomas. I don't think that's John's point here. These verses are primarily addressed not to people with doubts, but to those who believe. And the purpose is not to make people who doubt feel guilty, but to encourage us to believe in the reality, not just of what happened 2,000 years ago, but what will happen 10,000 years or more in the future. Despite the way he is remembered, Thomas is here to help us to believe. Believing is trusting in the evidence. Believing is accepting the historical fact that Jesus, who was dead, lived again. But it isn't just that. John summarizes that in verse 31. Look at verse 30 and 31. We'll come back to it, but just look at them briefly now. Verse 30, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. There were lots of things John could have written. He's not included everything. But he's written for a purpose, verse 31. But these are written so that you may believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And then see the consequences of believing. And that by believing, you may have life in his name. So this is the purpose, that we might believe, and believing we might live. Believe, so live. This is John's message. Believe, so live. And that's where it takes us, way into the future. Because living in John's gospel is not just living now, but forever. It's eternal life. So let's look at what it means to live. And so what it means to believe, so live. Believing means two things. The first is this: believing is believing that Jesus really lived again. Believing is believing that Jesus really lived again. The account begins with Thomas not believing, verse 24. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples had seen Jesus, but Thomas wasn't there. Verse 25, so the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he doesn't believe. He demands evidence. But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the marks, the nails, and place my fingers into the marks and nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." In being a follower of Jesus, he began to believe in Jesus. He was devastated by his death. But he does not believe that Jesus is alive. And there's something quite reasonable about Thomas's position. Let me put it like this. How many people do you know who have died? Just roughly, think about that. Of those people, how many of them have come back to life? Okay, how many people have died and how many have come back to life? Now, I don't know the answer to the first question, but I know the answer to the second question. None of them have come back to life. See, when people die, they don't come back to life. See, the other disciples have come in and said, "Jesus is alive." And Thomas replied, "People who have died don't come back to life. It doesn't happen." He refuses to believe it unless he sees it. Thomas is not going to believe some vague story which contradicts everything he knows. He will only believe when he has hard evidence. But that is exactly what he received. Verse 26. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Thomas, he so far hadn't believed, sees the very thing that he refused to believe. Jesus stands there. He's really there. He's really alive in front of him. And Jesus calls Thomas to believe. He calls Thomas to do exactly what Thomas had said he needed to do. Verse 27, then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Believing is believing that Jesus really did rise from the dead. That Jesus really lived again. Now, we don't see the risen Jesus. We're not called to be believed without evidence. Jesus mentions us, verse 29. Jesus said to him, "You have believed because you have seen me. Blessed are those who have seen and yet who have not seen and yet have believed." Thomas saw it, and we know that because John has told us, and so we can believe. John gives us the evidence we need. Verse 31, but these are written so that you can believe. John records Thomas so that you know someone checked it for you. If you have doubts, Thomas had doubts. Thomas was not going to believe some vague story. But his doubts were answered. We know that Jesus really lived because Thomas saw it. Thomas touched it. Thomas had all the questions and he had them answered. Thomas was not called to believe without evidence. And he's not there as a cautionary tale to us. He's there as the evidence we need to believe. The evidence that Thomas received, Jesus passes on to us. Believing is believing that Jesus really lived again. But secondly, believing is believing that Jesus really is God and King. Believing is believing that Jesus really is God and King. See, it is believing that Jesus really lived again, but it's more than that. Look at what Thomas says when he sees the risen Jesus. Verse 28, Thomas answered, "My Lord and my God." It's not a response which just acknowledges fact. He doesn't go, "Oh yeah, you're right." It's a response of worship. He acknowledges not just that Jesus is alive, but the fact that Jesus is alive means that he is Lord and God. If you look back to chapter 1, that's exactly what John has been teaching. The Word was God and the Word became flesh. To believe is not simply to believe that Jesus rose, but to believe that the resurrection of Jesus shows us that Jesus is God and King. And John says the same to us. These are written so that you may believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. John wants us to believe what Thomas did. That Jesus, yes, he lived again, but because he lived again, he is the Christ, the Son of God. Those words, Christ and Son of God, are King words. Christ means anointed one. King were anointed in the Old Testament. And the Son of God doesn't just mean Jesus is God. But again, in the Old Testament, kings were called sons of God. The universe is ruled by one man, and his name is Jesus. And we know that because he rose from the dead. The reality of the resurrection leads us to the reality of Christ's rule over the universe. Christ is King. That's what it means to believe, not just believing that Jesus really lives, but believing in what that implies, that Jesus is God and King. If you believe that Jesus raised from the dead, you must accept his kingship and rule. The two go together. The risen Jesus owns your life. He is your Lord and God. To believe he rose, but that he is not God King, is completely at odds with each other. One leads to the other. Believing is believing that Jesus really is God and King. The risen Jesus demands your allegiance. If he is risen, you must worship him. He is God and King. And what it means to believe that he lived again, and to believe that he is God and King. Believing is believing Jesus really is God and King. It's bowing the knee to the risen Lord Jesus. And John wants us to believe. And he wants to believe because the consequence of believing. Believe, so live. Believe, so live. The resurrection of Jesus means that the reality of our... The resurrection of Jesus means the reality of our own resurrection. Come back to verse 31. But these are written so that we, as we read, may believe that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God, God and King. But then John goes on, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. And this is the wonder, the resurrection life, the real life that Jesus had is given to all who believe. As we believe, we live. Believe, so live. And again, in John's Gospel, we've seen living is knowing God and his Son, Jesus Christ. And this is the wonder of resurrection. Jesus died and he really lived again. And what was true of him, if you believe, can be true of you. If you believe, not just believing that he rose, but that he is God and King, then you will live again. Start planning 10,000 years in the future. And the life that is on offer is a real life, as the life that the risen Lord Jesus has. A physical, real life, just as the resurrected life of Jesus is glorious, so is the life that we will inherit in eternity. 10,000 years with no less day to sing his praise. The bodily resurrection of Jesus guarantees the bodily resurrection of anyone who believes in him. The eternal life of Jesus guarantees your eternal life. If you believe, you will live as Jesus did. Believe, so live. Because the risen Lord Jesus, the real life that he has after death, that life becomes infectious as everybody who believes lives. Though they die, they live. That life is real, every bit is real. Even more so as our life now. The reality of Christ's resurrection shows you the reality of your resurrection if you believe. See, the choice this morning is a real body in a real place 10,000 years from now, or maybe more. Again, think of your home today, where you are. Your future home is that certain. And as we look at the resurrection and the evidence of the resurrection that Thomas tested for us, and we say Jesus really did live again, what we can say that we can believe, and believing, live. Believing means that Jesus really is God and King. And so, we believe, so live. And that's not just for 10,000 years in the future, although it is that. It's even now. And this eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. The reality of those things that we feel even now, those pains, those hardships that we feel are real around us, they are real. They're no less real, though. No less real is the real life that we have in Jesus now and into eternity. We know that we don't face them alone. The realities of now, we are not facing alone. We are facing them with the risen Lord Jesus, and we're facing them looking 10,000 years and more into the future. We don't just live in 10,000 years, we do from now until then. We walk each day, trusting in God, whose risen Son rules and gives life. As we hold on to the reality of life now, and knowing God and the reality of life forevermore, eternal life. This morning, do you believe in the reality of Christ's resurrection? Well, do you believe in the reality of life now and to come? Believe and live. Let's be quiet for a moment and I'll pray. And this is eternal life. That they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Heavenly Father, thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Thank you that Thomas showed us that. We have evidence to know the reality of your resurrection. But that evidence gives us certainty of the reality of the life to come. Not just way in the future, but now as we live with you. Give us the confidence to live each day, knowing that you are with us and that we will be with you forever through the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.